I hope you can hear me. Quit. Is it all right? All right. Thank you. Your good spiritual songs, your welcome, your enthusiasm is, of course, an encouragement to us. I have known about the work here in Appleton for a number of years, and I appreciate the very kind things that Whit has said, undeserving, but I appreciate them nonetheless. Betty and I have been looking forward to this very occasion when we would be able to share with you in the things of the gospel. If you would, at this time, turn to the 39th Psalm, and we will be reading two verses from that passage in just a moment. The subject that has been suggested for our study this evening is entitled, If This Were My Last Day. Think about it. If this were my last day. Well, it is a very appropriate title. When we read the psalmist's words in Psalm 39 and verses 4 and 5 are worded like this in the New King James translation. David says, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as hand's breadths, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. A number of things, of course, will come to our mind as we consider the words of Psalm 39. First of all, a recognition on our part that it is good for us to consider where we are in life, for us to be able to look at the lifespan of mankind and to recognize that in many, many ways it is exactly as the Holy Spirit reveals here through David. And that is, it's just but a handspan, just as a vapor. And no matter how long God may give us to live, yet it is all over so very, very quickly. So the admonition, the instruction to every one of us is that we will consider our lives and that we will consider the end of our lives. We know, without being morbid in any sense of the word, that unless our Lord Jesus comes back again before that event, every one of us in this room are going to die. We're going to die. We go to funerals, we're reminded of the fact that man is very mortal. In youth, middle years, sometimes in old age. But nevertheless, the fact is presented to us by David here and other portions of Scripture that you undoubtedly are very familiar with. We're all going to die. Now, I have a proposal for you this evening hour that I think in a certain way at least is going to call for your imagination. But it's not unreal at all. And of course, this actually happens to people. What if this were your last day on earth? How would you feel? Here, you've gone to the doctors. They have examined you physically and in every other way, and they've said, you've got an incurable disease. You're going to die. And you become aware of the fact not only that you do not have long to live here on earth, but you recognize finally whether you have become an invalid or whether you're just aware of what is going on with your body. I'm going to die. This will be my very, very last day on earth. That's sobering, isn't it? But what would you do? What would you do your last day on earth? Now, I cannot tell you minutely what you may do, but I think that there is some good Bible advice that will help us whenever our very last day here on earth occurs. The first thing that I would suggest to you is this. There would not be a single wasted moment. All you have is this last day. That's all you've got. There's not going to be any more days to follow. It is not a matter of you very possibly saying, well, if I waste some time today, well, there will be other days. There will be next week or next month in which I can do this or that or the other thing. I cannot speak for everybody, but have you ever heard the expression, I'm just killing time? Do you know, in a way, that is probably one of the most serious killings that you can do? I've gone to the department store grudgingly, usually with my wife, and while she is looking at dresses or materials or whatever it may be, well, I kind of wander away. And invariably, those salespeople are looking for us suckers. And so they will walk up to you and they will say, can I help you, sir? And I say, oh no, I'm just killing time. I'm just killing time. Do you do that? Do you say, this is my day off, and so I've got time to kill? The truth of the matter is, today can never be repeated. There really is no such thing as saying, I'll make up for missed opportunities. No, I failed to do this today, but you know there will be other opportunities for me to do this. I will make up for the time that I've lost. Whatever you have done today, whatever you will do your last day on earth, well, that is it. Whether it's for good, whether it is for evil. As I think about this matter of making every minute count my last day here on earth, I would really give little thought to earthly things, to possessions. We will recognize, if we have not come to that time yet in our lives, that material things are really worth very little. Oh, I don't mean by that that we would not want to have already made provision for our loved ones, our children, our husband, our wife, or whoever it may be. But that's not the point. When I began to think, I'm going to die. This is my very last day here on earth. Do you know I'm not going to spend any time thinking about my secular job? Who's going to take my place? The boss tries to tell you you're irreplaceable. This business will fold if you're not here. And that's all a lie. That's all a lie. Sometimes our boss will appeal to us. Work on Sunday or work on Wednesday night. And we say, well, you know, I've just got such responsibilities that I've got to do that. The company is depending on me. The truth of the matter is that the next day after you die, the company will not likely close its doors. It's just going to go right on. And no matter how valuable you think you are, you know, they'll find somebody to replace you. They really will. There will be very, very little that I'm going to think about material possessions this last day that I'm here on earth. Oh, I'm going to be dwelling on spiritual things. That's where my mind is centered. My last day on earth, if I'm at all able vocally, I want to spend some time in singing hymns. I want to spend some time in prayer. I certainly want to spend some time reading all of these good scriptures that are going to help me to center my mind on what is going to happen when I die and who I'm going to meet. Well, what else? If I am at all physically able, but even if I'm not physically able, there is something else I think that every one of us would determine that we were going to do our last day on earth. And that is, we would fill our day with good deeds. With good deeds. There would not be a single evil thought or unkind word or any kind of unkind deed that I would want to do. Over in the book of Titus, and you might want to turn to Titus chapter 3, I notice that Titus words it like this. And actually, there are two or three times in the third chapter of Titus when he talks about good works. But in verse 8, Titus says, this, or Paul in writing to Titus says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Well, that's what I would want to do. This is my last day on earth. I want to make it count. I want to make it count for good. What will I do? Well, first of all, I want my family to know how much I love them. And I want to tell them so. I want to tell them so. I want to call all of my children around me. No matter how many times I have told them and told my good wife or my husband, as the case may be, of my love and appreciation and affection for them. One thing that I would want them to remember about my last day on earth would be the fact that I'm leaving them with such great love for them. But not just my family. Not just my family. I would want all of my brothers and sisters in Christ to know of my love for them. John chapter 13 and verse 35. Jesus says, "By this all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Have you ever thought about what is the greatest advertisement for the Church of Christ? You say, "Brother Tope, I wish here in Appleton that someone were to give us $1 million for advertising. And we could go on television. We could take out a full-page advertisement in the newspaper. We could have news flashes on the radios talking about the church and all that we were accomplishing and our intent." Have we overlooked the very best advertising for the church in Appleton? "By this, everyone will know that you are a disciple of the Lord if you have love for one another." That goes to the very heart of the matter, Whit. Now, I realize at courthouse in Chesterfield County, Virginia, we're a hugging bunch of folks, just as I see that here. But, you know, I can hug somebody just to prevent them from stabbing me in the back. And so there's a little more to it than that, isn't there? All right. Well, look over at 1 John 3. Let's just notice how John puts it. What I'm trying to say is this. If this were my last day on earth, I would think about that brother and sister that I've been at odds with. Maybe storing up in my heart ill feelings. Maybe even hatred. And so John says this. Verse 14, 1 John 3. "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Oh, I would hate that I have come to the last day on earth and I still harbor ill feelings. Somebody snubbed me. Somebody said something that was not true. And I have never, ever forgiven them for how they've treated me. That last day on earth, I would not want to leave this earth with that kind of feeling. What else? If this was my last day on earth, I would prepare to meet God. That's going to happen. Oh, the atheist, the unbeliever, the skeptic, the doubter, they can say all that they want to. You can't see God. How do you know there is a God? Whenever we die, we better be prepared to meet God. Probably the majority of you will remember the words in Amos 4 and verse 12. There Amos talks about all that God had brought upon the nation of Israel because of their idolatry, because of their rebellion against Him. But he says, because I will do this, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. That's going to happen when I die. Prepare to meet God. What kind of preparation? I would want to be sure that in my lifetime I had obeyed the gospel. How important that is. You young folks, you may be thinking about what job, what occupation you're going to engage in as you reach maturity, as you leave school, as you further your education, and you may say, my goal in life is to do this or that or the other thing. People in this life have all kinds of goals, some of them very worthwhile. They intend to get ahead. But you know, the most important thing for every one of us is to be sure we've obeyed the gospel. He that believes, the Bible just makes it so clear, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Peter, on that great day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Do you know that you can sit down with an individual that has never, ever heard the gospel, and in about 5 minutes, maybe a little bit less, you can tell them what they need to do to be saved. I remember old Sister Naidu before she was our sister in Christ. Oh, she had been introduced to some kind of denominational Christianity as she was leaving the Hindu religion. Sister Naidu was crippled in body. She could neither read nor write in any language. But when she heard the gospel, she said, that means I need to repent. Have you ever heard anybody put it that way? Oftentimes we will say, oh, as we explain to people, they would say, well, I believe. She got right to the heart of the matter, Whit. She said, that means I need to repent. And she did. She did. Well, Betty and I were, of course, ecstatic. Here was this middle-aged woman, arthritic, uneducated. And we came away on that day saying, you know, this is so wonderful, but she won't be able to help the church to grow, will she? Do you know who brought the most visitors to the place of meeting? Sister Naidu. Have you ever seen 10 little Indians in a VW Beetle? We would go to Sister Naidu's on a Sunday and she had gathered up all of the apartment people. And maybe we could have taken more, but we just kept pouring them into that little Beetle until we were overflowing. One day, Sister Naidu said, I want you to let me off here at the Pentecostal building. And we thought, now what does she have in mind? Here it is Sunday, we have worshiped. She has faithfully, steadfastly been serving God. What is she wanting to do with the Pentecostals? And she told us. She said, I want you to let me off right here in front. And she said, when my friends come out of that building, I'm going to teach them the gospel. Sister Naidu, what would you do in your preparation to meet God if this was your last day on earth? Well, you would want to be sure of your relationship to God. Very possibly every one of you can think back to the day that you became a Christian. You remember who it was that had that kind of courage, that took the time to teach you the truth. And that day of your baptism was a wonderful time, wasn't it? But now you say, I've been a Christian for a long time. Have you thought about the instructions that Paul gives to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13? Look over there just for a moment. And it just seems to me that if this were my last day on earth, I would want to be absolutely sure that this is what I had done. Paul says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. Do you know that it's easy for me to examine others? I don't have to be around my brethren very long before I've examined them. And I think I know almost every one of their faults. Have you examined yourself? Do you know where your weaknesses and where your failures are? Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you indeed, unless you are disqualified? The old King James says, unless you're reprobate. But that word reprobate, a very strong word, means you're not qualified. Have you ever asked yourself, am I qualified to be a Christian? Am I qualified to be recognized as a saint? On my last day here on earth, I want to be so sure that I have examined myself. In preparing to meet God, now this is my very, very last day on earth. But I know that there is another appointment that I have to keep. And that appointment Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 9 through 11, the apostle says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Just as it is so that every one of us in this room is going to die, so with the exception of the infants, every one of us are going to be there at the judgment. Prepare to meet thy God. He's going to judge us according to what we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil, good or bad. If you've been following along with me, I have to tell you something now. Chances are you will not know when your last day on earth will come. Yeah, it could be today. You could leave the building and you could get in your automobile and you could be involved in a terrible tragedy that would take your life, just like that. You may live many, many years, but the truth of the matter is that very few people are fortunate enough to know this is my last day on earth. Okay. Well, what's the benefit of the lesson then? Have we just been spinning our wheels? Oh, no. Oh, no. If you agree with me that the things that we have gone over are the things that you would do your last day on earth, isn't that what you ought to be doing every day? Not giving thought to these insignificant material things on earth. Put them in their right place, if you will, please. When's the last time you let your brethren know, your family know, that you love them? Good deeds, profitable to all men, not just something that a few Christians are called on to do. Telling others the gospel. Building one another up in the faith. Examining yourself every day. How few quarrels there would be in the church if I would look at old Gene Tope more often to see his own failures, his own shortcomings. When to do this? I hope no one here says, you know, hey, that's a good idea that you've suggested. I think when I retire, I'm going to start doing some of those things. Or when I get a little bit older, or you know, just as soon as I'm through with this particular problem. The Apostle Paul, again, right on the mark. And so he says in chapter 6 of his second letter to the Corinthians, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I've helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." What greater invitation could we have? What greater invitation could you have if you are present this evening, but you've not yet become a Christian? Maybe you have heard the Scriptures as to what you need to do. What do you need to do? Confess your faith in Christ, that He is the Son of God. Turn from your sins, whether they are sins of morality, whether they're religious sins. Be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. The teacher Ananias said to Saul, "And now, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." How are you faring as a Christian? Have you said, "They're getting along pretty good here. They really don't need me to be doing all that work." Work, for the night is coming. We've already sung that. If you're a subject to the invitation, why don't you let us help you in whatever way you may need? Let's stand and sing.